15, the feet, the footwear of the preparation of the gospel. Verse 16, the shield of faith. And then verse 17, the beginning half, the helmet of salvation we talked about last week. And then the last piece that's mentioned in verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, capital S. I was not talking about your spirit and mine. That would be a small s. But the sword of the Spirit, that's the third person of the Godhead, the Spirit of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And again, I mentioned the S. It's important whether it's capitalized or small case, because that determines whether it's talking about the Holy Spirit or your spirit, because we have a spirit. In Romans 8, it says, the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit, now I forgot the rest of the verse. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit, small s, that we are the children of God. So that makes a difference. Well, Word of God, Word with a capital, is talking about Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, capital W. When it's a small w, it's talking about the written Word of God. Capital W is the living Word of God, the Son of God. Small w is the written Word of God. So the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures. Let's talk about that sword tonight as we look at our notes. First of all, let's say the sword is a dual-purpose weapon, D-U-E-L, D-U-A-L. You use a sword for a duel, but that's not the one we want. It's a dual, D-U-A-L, a dual-purpose weapon. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, for the Word of God, small w, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, I don't want to make an improper application, but let's just say two-edged because it is a dual-purpose weapon. Notice, whereas the first five pieces of the armor were strictly defensive, the breastplate, the loins, the footwear, the helmet, the shield, all were defensive. The sixth piece, the sword of the Spirit, is not only to deflect blows, but to inflict blows. Have you ever seen on television, probably, or maybe you got into fencing sometime in your life, you ever seen sword play? They not only use the sword to advance, but they use the sword to protect and to protect themselves from the other person's advances. So the sword has a twofold purpose. It is for defense, and it's also for offense. All the other weapons were just defensive weapons. This is the only weapon that we have to attack with. All right? It is to deflect blows and inflict blows. It is both a defensive and an offensive weapon. Now, the whole thing is here, folks, you have to know how to use it. It's a weapon. The sword is a weapon, and you have to know how to use it. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight, this sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Number one, the Word of God defends us. All right, we're talking about being a defensive weapon. Again, a person will use the sword to block the advances of the other person. And we use the Word of God to block the advances of the devil through different avenues. All right, letter A, the Word of God defends us in times of temptation. In times of temptation. I want you to turn there to Matthew chapter 4. I know you're familiar with it, but we want to emphasize this tonight. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is baptized at the end of chapter 3, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. He's led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now that sounds like a mismatch to me. The Lord against the devil. If I were to go to Vegas, which I don't do, if I were to go to Vegas and put odds on that one, I think I know which one I would bet on between Jesus and the devil. I mean, he could annihilate him. He could go out there and rain down fire and brimstone. He could cast him into the bottomless pit. He could do anything. But you know what, Jesus, the avenue that he chose to use to defend himself against the temptation of the devil, he used the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Notice in chapter 4, it said in verse 3, the tempter came to him and said, if thou be, and that's the way the tempter goes, if thou be, always doubting, always questioning. Remember Eve in the garden? Yea, hath God said. That's what the devil's job is, to get us to doubt the things of God. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus had just fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He's hungry. There's his weakness. The devil knows it because he knows our weaknesses. And he says to him, hey, there's nothing wrong with this. You're the Son of God. You've got no problem with this. Command these stones to be made bread. But in verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written. You should underline those words in your Bible. That's how Jesus responded to the temptation of the devil. Not by knocking him out of the ring, not by undercutting him, not by casting him out, but by quoting the Word of God. In fact, he quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, which says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How did Jesus defend himself against the devil? Again, he could have chosen any means, but we could not have imitated that. We could not have, if Jesus would have just knocked him for a loop and knocked him clear out, we can't do that, but we can quote the Word of God. It can be our defensive weapon during times of temptation. Notice in verse 5, the devil taketh him up into a holy city and sitteth him on the pinnacle of a temple and said, if thou be, there he is again, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. And then you read the rest of the verses, verse 7, Jesus said unto him, here it is again, it is written, underline that, the second time. Jesus responded to the temptation of the devil by quoting Scripture. This time, Psalm chapter 91, verse 11 and 12. He quoted that, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Jesus said unto him, it is written, Deuteronomy 6, 16, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then the third time, verse 8, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee. He is the prince and the power of the air. He's the God of this world. The kingdoms belong to him in this earth right now. And he says to Jesus, I'll give all these to you if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for, here it is the third time, it is written. And this is Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. How did Jesus resist the temptation? How did he defend himself against? What pattern did he set for you and I? He could have done all kinds of different things that we aren't capable of doing. But he chose to set an example for you and I that when the devil tempts us, we defend ourselves with the Word of God. And when he did, notice what it says in verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him. All right, that's how he beat off the devil. That's how he fought him off. That's how he got rid of him, got him out of the ring. And you and I can do the same thing. The old expression is simply this, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Folks, we need to read the Bible every day. We need something from the Word of God in this world we live in. We need something from God to defend ourselves against the onslaught of the devil. Because we're in enemy territory, are we not? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. We're a peculiar people right now, and we are not like the rest of the world around us, and the only way we can sustain ourselves and defend ourselves is by getting the Word of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We need the Bible every day. Another verse you could write down the reference, Psalm chapter 17 and verse 4. David said, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Psalm 17:4. He told the Lord, by the word of thy lips I have kept myself from the paths of the destroyer. What is going to get us through our time of temptation? Not our technology, not our intellect. The thing that's going to get us through a time of temptation is the Word of God. We need the Bible daily. All right, the Word of God defends us, letter A, in times of temptation. Letter B, it defends us in times of affliction. In a times of affliction. Brother Gary is home tonight, and he's in affliction. And I'm sure he's sitting there just sad because the Indians are probably winning. No, that has nothing to do with it. All right, it's a time of affliction. I can testify for the times in the nursing home doing the rehab. It's a time of affliction. Almost all of us have been there at one time or another. And the only thing that can really soothe us, the only thing that can really help us in that time is the Word of God. Job's three friends came to him in a time of his affliction. And their words, Job said to them, "Ye are miserable comforters, all of you." We don't have the words sometimes, but God always does. The Word of God can comfort us. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 50, "This is my comfort." Psalm 119, verse 50. "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened," made alive. "Thy word hath quickened me." What will pick up your spirits when you're afflicted? Nothing like the Word of God. Pain medication can't do what the Word of God... I'm not against pain medication. You've got to always be careful with what you say. I'm not saying that's wrong, but the Word of God is what will quicken your spirit. All right? Not just your body, but quicken your spirit. Brighten your outlook. Give you a better attitude. It comes from the Word of God. So the Word of God defends us in times of temptation, in times of affliction, and letter C, it defends us in times of persecution. In times of persecution. David again said in Psalm 119, and you'll see so many references tonight in Psalm 119, because that whole chapter is about the Word of God. It's the middle chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119 is the middle chapter in the Bible. And it's all about the Word of God. In Psalm 119:61, David said, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word." David said, "When I look at those that are against me and oppose me, I can get discouraged, but I look at your word, I stand in awe." The Word of God can help defend us in times of persecution. We need the Word of God. We need the Bible. You don't know how the devil's going to attack you tomorrow. Whether it's going to be temptation, it might be affliction, it might be persecution. You don't know. You don't know what the next attack of the devil is. So how do you protect yourself? By getting in the Word of God. Mom or dad reading the Bible isn't going to help you. Brother or sister reads their Bible every day. That's wonderful. That's not going to help you. It's not going to help me. If somebody's breaking into my house, it's not going to help me that my neighbor has a shotgun. It's going to help if I've got one in the house. When the devil comes tempting us, it's not going to matter how spiritual our spouse is, our children, our parents. It's all going to depend on how prepared we are. And so we need to have the Word of God ready. We need to have it in our hand so that we can defend ourselves in times of temptation, affliction, and persecution. Number one, the Word of God defends. Number two, the Word of God delights us. Not only does the Word of God defend us, but the Word of God delights us. We've talked about this already. During time of affliction, what can brighten your spirits, help you see the light at the end of the tunnel, as it were? The Word of God. Psalm chapter 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." That man's not blessed. Verse 2, "But blessed is that man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Blessed is that man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. You have a favorite television program, maybe a favorite sporting event. Ohio State's playing, I assume, this Saturday. And so it's already marked on some people's calendars. What time? What channel? We'll be there watching it. Not criticizing, but I'm saying, do we have that kind of delight in the Word of God? Do we plan out our schedule to make sure we get in the Bible at a certain time each day? Is the Word of God our delight? He said, "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord." Look, if you would, there at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And of course, you know, I have no idea what time Ohio State plays Saturday. But I know Michigan's on at 1 o'clock against Indiana. In case you needed to write that down. Psalm 119. Notice this word delight. Psalm 119, verse 16. "I will delight myself in thy statutes." Looking at the word delight. "I will delight myself." That's what the psalmist said. God, the statutes. You know, there's 176 verses, and I think it's like four verses out of 176 that don't make some, and that it might be more than four, it might be six, but it's not any more than that, that don't have some mention of thy words, thy statutes, thy commandments. That's what Psalm 119 is all about. And in verse 16 he said, I will delight myself in thy statutes. Down in verse 24, thy testimonies are my delight. Verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Verse 47, and you see this is on our page. Verse 47, I will delight myself in thy commandments. Verse 70, their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in the law, in thy law. I delight in thy law. Verse 77, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Verse 92, unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. That takes us back to point number one. Unless thy law had been my delights. Verse 143. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. When trouble and anguish come, thy commandments are my delights. In verse 174, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Do you get the impression that the psalmist delighted in the Word of God, in the statutes and the commandments and the law of the Lord? Paul also said in Romans chapter 7 and verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Do you find it as difficult as I do sometimes to sit down and dedicate yourself to reading the Bible? Now, you heard what the preacher just said, right? Do you have as hard a time as I do? Now, I'm in my office most days, and I'm in the Word of God studying and researching and digging down. But I need more than that. I need more than just digging down. I need the delight of the law of the Lord. Not just figuring out, Brother Jeff, we talked about this, whether the two prophets, Elijah and Moses, prophesy in the first half of the tribulation or the second half of the tribulation, and I'm getting out the charts and the commentaries in the Bible and I'm digging. That's great. But that can't replace my daily Bible reading. I need the delights. I don't get delighted in digging in some of that stuff sometimes. I get confused. I get a headache. We delight in the law of the Lord after the inward man. Sometimes it's hard to get the outward man, the flesh, to cooperate with what's in the heart. But we need time every day in the Word of God. The Word of God should be our delight. Then number three, not only does the Word of God defend us and the Word of God delight us, but number three, the Word of God directs us. The Word of God directs us. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What's going to direct us in this world that we live in? What's going to influence us? Is it going to be the newscasts? Is it going to be the popular direction of society at any given point? I mean, you understand how flexible that is? What's popular today, what won't be popular tomorrow? Usually what's popular in the world is against some moral value of God. So what is it that's going to direct us? It has to be the Word of God. But how does the Word of God direct us if we don't get it in? We have to get it in every day. The Word of God directs us, letter A, this is not profound, these are simple things, as we read it. The Word of God directs us as we read it. It influences us. Our verse is in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18 and 19. The Bible says about the king of Israel, he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Why? That he may learn to fear the Lord his God, that he may learn to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, and that he may learn to do them. All right? When does he stop reading? He doesn't. All the days of his life. I'm getting ready to finish my Bible through here, probably, hopefully, by next Friday. And then you say, once you get it through, that's 5 dozen plus times. Once you get through that time, what do? Now you can just sack it. No, then you start all over again. Because we need it every day. He said, he shall write it down and he shall read therein all the days of his life. You know what happens, folks, when we read the Bible every day? We develop and grow spiritually to the point that when we fail to read it every day, we get sour. Now, not right away to other people, but we get sour in ourselves. And then after a little while, it appears to other people. We need it every day. As children of God, we need the sincere milk of the Word. We need it. Job said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Most of us will make sure we eat 3 times a day. Or 4 times. We'll make sure we get enough food during the day. And how can we neglect the Word of God? We have to read it. Again, reading depends on an individual, it's on an individual basis. It takes me about 45 minutes to read what I read in a day's time. Some folks could read more than that in 45 or less than that in 45. 45 minutes is not a requirement. It's just reading some of the Word of God. Even if you get 5 minutes in, it's better than nothing. 10 minutes is better than nothing. Whatever you can, but get some of the Word of God every day. And the more we get, the better it's going to be. So the Word of God directs us as we read it. Letter B, it directs us as we meditate on it. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. You know what happens? You read your Bible in the morning, and something you read sticks with you all day long. And it's not that you're walking around in a daze or in a fog because your mind is on that all day long, but throughout the day, you're thinking about that very thought. As a preacher, I know what I'm going to preach this Sunday morning. And my sermon is not worked on, how do I explain it? It's in my mind right now when I'm going to preach, and all throughout the week when I get different moments, I'm thinking about more thoughts toward that sermon on Sunday morning. So what does that do? That gets my mind meditating on the Word of God. We need to find some way. That's why the Baptist Bread, the devotional books are so good. You read that one in the morning and it plants a thought there that you can meditate on all day long. Again, it doesn't mean that you sit there, you know, with your legs crossed and your fingers in little circles going om all day long. But it means you get the Word of God in and then you meditate on it all day long. And as we do that, the Word of God directs us. Letter C. The Word of God directs us as we read it, as we meditate on it. Letter C, as we memorize it. As we memorize it. Deuteronomy 11:18 says, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. Reading the Word of God gets it into your eyes. Memorizing the Word of God gets it in your heart. Again, Psalm 119, verse 11, the head of number 3, or excuse me, where's the verse at? Thy word have I hidden, it's up farther under letter A at the top. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. We have to have the Word of God. You say, how do you memorize it? Well, you're reading in the morning, you come across a verse that really stands out, and you write it down on a 3x5 card, or you write it down on a piece of paper, you put it on your refrigerator, you put it on the rearview mirror, don't block your vision, but you put it, hang it on the rearview mirror of your car, you put it somewhere, and you remind yourself of that verse, and you quote it back to yourself on a regular basis. That's how we memorize the Word of God. Someone, I don't know if it was someone here, I heard a preacher say recently that they knew someone, wasn't them, they knew someone that could quote the whole New Testament. That's amazing. They said that whoever told me about this said that he would stand in front of a group of people and say, name a verse in the New Testament, and they'd say Matthew 4:11, or they'd just pick some verse, and he would quote that verse. Pause just for a second and bring that verse. I can't begin to comprehend that. Somebody tried to throw him a trick. They picked like Ephesians 5:33. I don't know if it ends with 32, but they picked one verse that's not there. And he said, what about Ephesians 5, and I'm not getting the exact, 33. And he said, I can't quote that verse. And everybody went, oh, we got him. He said, because that chapter ends with verse 32. He even knew that much. So all that Word of God going in. Now, none of us are probably ever going to attain that level of memorization. But the idea is that the more that we put the Word of God in our eyes and in our mind and in our heart, the better the more successful we can be in this battle. And so we need to do it to memorize it. Then letter D. The Word of God directs us, letter D, as we study it. As we study it. 2 Timothy 2:15, I just preached on this last Sunday evening. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are to study the Word of God. One of the reasons to go to a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church is to be instructed in the Word of God. Sometimes when you're reading the Bible at home, you're reading in your devotions, you come across a phrase or a word or a statement or a thought, and you say, you know, I need to study that. I need to look that up. I need to research that. Maybe I need to ask the pastor about that. It might be something. But you decide that you want to look into something for yourself. What a blessing that is. But most of all, it's a blessing to come to church where in Sunday morning in Sunday school, we're studying the Sermon on the Mount. In the morning, we're having our message. Sunday night, we're in 2 Timothy. Wednesday nights, we're in Ephesians 6, looking at the whole art. We are just getting the Word of God more and more all the time. And that's how we get into the Word of God, and that's what eventually strengthens us. So we need to do that. We need to get where we can study and study the Word of God so we can learn how to handle it properly. You realize in our day, one of the most common problems within Christianity is people that improperly handle the Word of God. It said in 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you take verses and misapply them, that's where false doctrine comes from. So we need to be taught, we need to study to make sure that what we believe and what we know, we are coming from a solid background. You know, when a young man, or these days, woman goes into the military, here's a city boy, goes into the military, I'd never touched a gun in my life up to that point. And I go in the Marines and they say, here's an M16, go for it. Here's your rounds of ammunition, see what you can do. No, they didn't do that. They sat me down in a classroom. They taught me all about the nomenclature of it. I had to know every part and its weight and its measurements. Then we had to go to the rifle range and sit around in a circle and shoot at a 55-gallon drum without ammunition. Just breathe and work on it. There was a lot of before we ever got to actually handle the weapon. You just don't pick up that Bible and know it and understand it in 24 hours. It takes a lot of study and I'm talking about all of us to learn the Word of God. It's not just something you just sit down with and you've got it. Oh, I've read it through. I got it down. It's amazing you run into people like that sometimes. Well, I've been in church for 5 years. I know all there is to know about the Bible. I've been in church for 42. Some of you have been in longer, and we haven't scratched the surface yet because that book's just beyond our wildest imagination. So what do we do? Well, if we're going to fight the devil, if we're going to be successful, we need to let the Word of God defend us. We need to have the Word of God delight us. And we need to have the Word of God direct us. The Bible says, and take unto you the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.